As we prepare to hear scripture read, let us join together in prayer. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your spirit. Soften our hearts that we may discern your ways. Fill us with your light. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture readings for Epiphany Sunday come from Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7 and 10 through 14, and also from Matthew's account of the Magi visiting Jesus, found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Let us listen to the words of our Lord found in both passages. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your poor with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and the peace abound until the moon is no more. May the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him and all nations give him service. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. And now from Matthew's gospel account. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then Herod sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I often refer to Epiphany Sunday as the celebration the world doesn't know about. For those who aren't involved in a church or aren't practicing Christians, this day is simply the last day before school starts. One last day to take down Christmas decorations, or one more day that is cloudy and cold and rainy. Many around us, perhaps myself or you, are suffering from holiday fatigue. We've worked ourselves into a frenzy over Advent, preparing for Christmas and trying to get everything done so that we can celebrate Christmas with our family and friends, only to rush through Christmas activities and New Year plans, leaving us this day tired and worn out. But the good news for all of us today on Epiphany Sunday is that Epiphany Sunday provides all of us an opportunity to embrace once again the remarkable gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to be reminded through our scriptures and songs and prayers, through the sacrament of Holy Communion, and through the sermon that today is a beautiful day to receive God's gift, Emmanuel, God with us. The wise men who traveled great distances to offer their gifts to the newborn Christ child were responding to the gift that was first given to them. They received God's gift and then offered their gifts to God. And it is their story today that reminds us that God is always, always the first to give. And boy, does God give extravagantly and abundantly. When I look out into this congregation, I see compassionate people who spend hours baking cookies for backyard ministries, cooking meals for the community, writing cards or visiting our homebound members, certainly praying for those in need, stretching the church budget by giving what they can, and like today, preparing and serving communion to one another. We are good at being busy and doing for God, but today represents a change in our routine. It allows us all to receive a gift from God as we worship again the birth of Jesus Christ through the story of the wise men, as we receive the bread and juice later in our service, and as we are gifted the power of a word, which I'll get to in a second. But today, for even the briefest moment, we are offered the opportunity to be still in the presence of God and to receive God's gifts, not because we've done something wonderful or done something right, but because God desires to lavish upon us the good gifts of life around us. I've mentioned to some here and other places that Advent and Christmas, personally for me this year, was a whirlwind of activity. All good and purposeful, but it was still busy. So busy at times that I felt like I didn't embrace or contemplate the season with as much intention as I would like to. And I wonder if there's anyone sitting here today who might have that same feeling. It seems like when I reach this Sunday, after the noise and the hustle and the bustle of Christmas and New Year's, I find that I can finally be still and contemplate the true meaning of Christmas. And I want you to be able to contemplate it as well. The story of the Magi reminds us of the practice, the spiritual practice of resting and waiting, and is a reminder that the gift of Jesus comes at different times to God's people. Many scholars believe that the story we read in Matthew's account happened long after Jesus was born, like a couple years later. It's hard to believe that it happened that way, as we are all accustomed to pushing the three kings into the image of the nativity the night that Jesus' birth. But truthfully, it appears that the Magi were just a bit late in the celebration of Jesus' birth. But they were compelled all the same to come visit the newborn king, and bearing gifts they found him to offer him honor and praise and glory. It goes to show us all that there is never a time too late to approach the manger and receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Perhaps that's why I keep at least one nativity up during the year, or occasionally throw the hymn Joy to the World into a worship service in the middle of summer. Christ's birth can be celebrated at any time. We are also reminded through the stories of Christ's birth that we can approach Jesus in whatever condition, shape, or circumstance we may find ourselves. The light of the world shone upon the angels and the shepherds and the magi, regardless of their rank or status on earth. And the same is true for us. We approach the light of Jesus Christ found in the manger in whatever state we may be. We approach the table set before us, just as we are, and regardless of our circumstances. We sit with each other and are welcomed by each other, whether we are workers like the shepherds or scholars like the magi or anything else. That's how extravagant God's gift is to us. A little bit ago, I talked about the power of a word and mentioned that we would get back to it. Well, today I'm going to invite you to practice, along with me, a new spiritual practice that I hope will last us throughout the year. It's not unique to our church and has been practiced in other places of worship. It's the idea of accepting a star word, not Star Wars, okay? I'm not giving you the Force, but a star word, or also known as a star gift. Today, you will be receiving a star-shaped piece of wood with a word printed on it. One word with an invitation for us all to ponder the significance of the word we receive and how God might be speaking to us throughout this year in that one word. Each of our words will be different, unique to us. Today I'm passing around the star gifts and our offering plates that we use later to collect tithes and offerings. And there is significance to this, because at this moment you are not asked to give, but are invited to receive. A reminder to us all that there is always an order of things in God's realm. God always gives first, and then we are invited to respond with our own gifts and services and ourselves. As we remember today the arrival of the wise men and remember their offerings of gold and frankincense and myrrh, we delight in a visual reminder of God's generosity in our own lives. So today we grab hold of a star word with the hope that God will use a specific personal word to begin a story in our own lives that weaves our experiences and God's love together in the coming year. And that through the year, we all might receive tangible, clear signs of God's presence. The gospel writer Luke, in his account of Jesus' birth, tells us that after the shepherds had arrived to the manger, they shared the story of the angels visiting them, and everyone who heard their story was amazed. But then Luke tells us that Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Today, I'm wondering, what if during the year 2020, we committed to ponder just one word given to us by God? Other people who have received a star word at the beginning of a year talk about how the word they receive is always timely, as if it was designated just for them. Why can't God use the blessings of the English language to bring meaning to the year ahead for all of us in a simple star word? Another thing to remember is that out of receiving comes sharing. At different times throughout the year, I will be inviting you to share some thoughts on your own star word. It might be on a bright summer Sunday in the heat of July that I will remind you that on this cold day, windy day, in January, God gave you a word specifically for you. And so, throughout the year, I encourage you to write thoughts and experiences you might have related to your word. And if the word you receive seems meaningless at the moment, just wait for God to reveal something amazing to you. So we are going to pass these, well, We, being the ushers, which I'll invite forward, are going to be passing these star words around. And there's a whole pile of them. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is not to pick through and pick your favorite word. Just trust that God is giving you your word by just picking one up. And hopefully there aren't too much in a tangled mess. And as you receive it, just take a moment to just think about that word that you're receiving. The twine on them, which offers you the opportunity to hang it somewhere or tie it somewhere. You can leave it on a table. I was even thinking how you could put a magnet on the back and stick it on your refrigerator.